as promised, he was going to call on Wednesday. Then he called on Thursday. Here it is on Friday. I've always been a big Eddie Money fan. Eddie's going to be playing the post-game Milwaukee Brewers Oriole game on Sunday. It's Father's Day. Hopefully my kid's going to spring for some cheap tickets and I get to see Eddie Money play as well. We got live via satellite. I think he's in Louisiana right now. Eddie Money joins us. What's up, Eddie? How you doing, man?
Hey, what are you doing there? How's everything going, man?
Everything is just outstanding. Are you in Louisiana today?
Yeah, I'm in Louisiana doing a show down here in the middle of the state, man, eating this Creole food, you know, some gumbo this and gumbo that and crawfish this. It's really a lot of fun down here. I can't wait to get up to Camden Yards. What a beautiful ballpark, huh?
Yeah, for you, I mean, I got to think you're probably Yankee Mets or something like that, or?
You know, I live in L.A. You know, when I was a little kid, my father was an usher at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. You know, I grew up with Duke Snyder and Pee Wee Reese and Roy Campanella. I've always been pretty much of a Dodger fan, and I live in L.A., you know, but those guys couldn't they got great pitching, but they couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag. I'm very depressed.
Well, I mean, a lot of people depressed about their baseball team at this point.
Yeah, five games behind the Giants, and I got a couple of guys that live in the band that come from San Francisco. I'm ready to kill them and fire them, you know.
Well, that's where you made your break, right, in San Francisco.
Yeah, Bill Graham, the legendary Bill Graham, signed me. I wrote Two Tickets to Paradise, Baby, all on. I got signed next at a thing called the Battle of the Bands in San Francisco. It was a rainy Tuesday night, and I told everybody, hey, stand up in front so it looks like the place is kind of filled up. And we wound up getting the first record deal, actually, off a video cassette tape. How about that?
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, I know all these stories about you. I was a music critic for a number of years and, did a lot of stories with the rock stars and stuff. The one thing that always sticks to you was that you were a cop. I mean, and 25, it's probably 30 years since you've been a police officer, correct?
Yeah, actually, I was a police trainee. I mean, I took the same physical that a patrolman would take and the same mental aptitude test as, you know, a cop would take. But I was on the police level when I was 19. I mean, I was going to be on the I was going to be in the academy for 2 years, and they'd have to credit to the year job on the force. But, you know, I'll tell you, Ness, my hair was getting really good in the back. You know what I'm saying? And I couldn't really see myself in uniform for 20 years of my life. I had a great rock and roll band happening, you know, doing this and that. And to me, it would have been like joining the Air Force or the Marine Corps. But instead of going in for 2 or 3 years, it's like 20 years. And, you know, when you're 19, 20 years old, that looks like a lifetime to you, you know?
So how does a kid from New York wind up in San Francisco then?
Well, you know what? My band moved out to California. They moved out to Santa Monica. Then I moved out there to Santa Monica with them, and I wasn't crazy about living with everybody. So I put my thumb out, and I moved up to Berkeley, California, and went to UC Berkeley up there and hung out there. And I started a rock band out there in Berkeley, California. Played the club scene and everything. Then I wrote Two Ticks Paradise, Baby Hold On, and all those hits. Then I got a rock, then I got a record deal. And next thing I know, I was selling millions of records. I was on the road with the Rolling Stones, with the Who, you know, everybody from Fleetwood Mac to Jay Giles to Steve Miller. Didn't make any difference to me.
For you, 20 years later, after so many hits in the early MTV days, and
I should have saved the money, huh?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, here you are. You're still back out on the road playing rock and roll shows. I'm friends with the guys from Styx and Journey, REO Speedwagon. I saw them out in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. Meatloaf's still back out on the road. He's a big baseball fan that checks in. I saw Rush out on the road last year. Getty's a big baseball fan. So, you know, we get our share of rock stars in and out on the program, but so many years later, so many of the classic rock bands are still out there where you can go out, reach them, touch them, feel them, hear them, sing, dance, and relive all those memories.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So, you know, I tell you, when people really got into music in the 70s and the 80s, Ness, you know, they used to buy your records. They wait for the next record. They know all the lyrics. They know what you did on television. I mean, fans from the 70s and the 80s, you know, they're still going out and buying my records and things like that. They're really fantastic people. These days, you know, I mean, you got Creed, you got the Goo Goo Dolls, but it's like it's the flavor of the month. I mean, these kids, they're very fickle these days, including my daughter. They'll buy one record and they won't follow the band to the second phase two, you know? It's crazy.
We always wonder whether the Creeds and the Stone Temple Pilots, 20 years from now, in the year 2020, will they be out playing the Paragon Casino and Resort in Marksville, Louisiana, as you're doing tonight?
I don't really know. You know, that's really up to the fans, you know? I mean, right now, I mean, with the snaps of this and doing everything else like that, you know, what I think the fans, what they do is that they're not really... they don't record that much music anymore. Either that, they're going to download it, they're going to get it to somebody, and they're going to, you know, 2 months later, they're going to get it to something else. I mean, people don't buy records the way they used to, you know?
For you, do you feel fortunate that it happened for you at the time when there was
so
such an explosion?
I hate to sound like an old fogey, but I was really glad to make records in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It was a great period to be alive. Like you said, I'm very good friends with, with Styx and REO Speedwagon and Loverboy. And these guys that are all, Pat Benatar, these are still very good friends of mine. And we're very fortunate to have the fans that we do. You know what I'm saying?
So how many baseball stadiums have you played in your day?
Not enough, I'll tell you. But I tell you, we play a lot of them. It's really fantastic to get out on the road and see all the new ballparks. I'm looking forward to getting to Camden Yards. I'd say we've played about maybe 14 to 15 ballparks, maybe.
So with Camden Yards calls, and I know the Orioles are putting this thing together about 6-7 weeks ago. They're calling Joan Jett's coming in a couple of weeks.
Right.
They got Rick Springfield coming in. There's a lot of national bands that are coming in and doing these after games. And I remember Gulfstream Park down in Florida during the racetrack.
That's where I met Pete Rose.
Yeah, in the winter they do. Imagine that, meeting Pete Rose at the racetrack. Very nice, Eddie. I like that. Eddie Money joining us here. But I think the entertainment for people that want people in their 30s, 40s, 50s to come out to go to a ball game, to put a concert in conjunction with a ball game, Eddie, I don't think 20 years ago people thought to do that kind of thing.
I agree with you 100%, man. And it's really great to get out there and to really get a great, right after the game, be doing songs like Shaking and Two Tickets and Take Me Home Tonight, Think I'm in Love. And I'm out there signing T-shirts every night to the Elizabeth Glazier Pediatric AIDS Foundation, so I get a chance to really get up close. And
plug that again. Whoa, what's that? Pediatric AIDS? You're from New York. You talk too fast.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of work for the Elizabeth Glazier Pediatric AIDS Foundation. We go to the hospital and visit these kids. They're wonderful children, and they got a lot of faith in their nurses and their doctors and their parents. And, I'm out there representing them, and it's just really, really cool, So then I get a chance to really hobnob and mingle with the people that come down to the shows and find out what they want to hear, what they don't want to hear, and it's really great,
For you, with getting out on the road, how many dates a year are you doing these days, Eddie?
I tell you, my idol, to tell you the truth, is somebody like a B.B. King. This guy gets out there, and he does super, super big shows. He does shows in little clubs. I'd have to say that B.B. King probably does at least 290 shows a year. I think that's fantastic, but, I do maybe about 140 shows a year.
Is that almost too much for you at this point? I mean, like you said, you should have saved your money and all that. I mean, that's sort of a running joke. But, I got to think you're still out playing because you like to play, not because you absolutely positively have to be out making a living at this point.
Well, how many chances does a rock star get a chance to go and play Camden Yards? I threw the first pitch out the other day in Milwaukee. I go to all the Dodgers games. I sing Star Spangled Banners. I did a big show for Mike Socha and his daughter. I'm very close to baseball. I've got a song I wrote called Looking Through the Eyes of a Child, which I'm going to put on my next record, and we're donating all the money to the Inner City League Fund through Major League Baseball. So I got a lot of ins. I know Chuck Finley's a good buddy of mine. I know a lot of people who play the game. And I think a lot of rock stars want to be Major League Baseball players. A lot of Major League Baseball players want to be rock stars. It's really crazy.
Yeah, Jack McDowell always had a band, and Mike Maceros from the Smithereens and Jack were in a band together.
Yeah, sure. So does the Dreyfus out here in L.A.'s got a rock band himself,
For you with baseball, and I know a lot of people have been disenchanted with baseball. Eddie, I do sports radio, man. We hear it every single day. We see the empty seats. We see people walking away and leaving the game. What is the connection for you, being a guy that, like you said, from New York, followed the Dodgers with you, through your family? What is it that still connects you to baseball that gets you excited? Because there's so many things to be pissed off about baseball about.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things to get mad about baseball, but when I went on strike, it was really ridiculous. And I've seen a lot of these Major League Baseball players be super, super nice to the kids. And I've seen these people. I mean, how many people get a chance to play the major leagues? How many people really get a chance to go to the big show? It's like, how many people really get a chance to be rock stars, I mean, I think baseball players hold themselves up pretty, pretty respectably. I think the most of them as a whole appreciate everything that the fans do for them. And, they're in a great place. They're very lucky to be there, and they should, every day they should thank their lucky stars that they are who they are, And I love the game, and I love the major leagues, and I like Fox Sports Network. I like the games on ESPN, man. Come on, man. I'm a baseball junkie, man.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. You got a Father's Day. You a daddy?
Yeah, I got five kids, man.
Five kids? Any of them coming in with you on Sunday?
You know, my son, my 11-year-old, just got the game ball the other day. He caught one out in the outfield, man, you know. Of course, they lost the championship, but, you know, they came close, you know.
That's awesome.
And I got two kids playing ball, and I got one kid playing lacrosse. So I'm out there all the time, you know.
So, I mean, Sunday, it's Father's Day that you're playing this this post-game thing. Any thoughts about fathers and baseball and rock and roll and holding it all together?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. My heart goes out to Barry Bonds right now because he's losing his dad, Bobby Bonds, who was, you know, one of the world's greatest hitters. He batted a lifetime, .337. And I just lost my mother to cancer. And, I feel bad for Bobby, Bobby Bonds is really sick. You know, I think everybody should really appreciate their dads because they're not going to be around forever. And, you know, daddies are wonderful people. You know, I love my father. I'm glad I got him around. And, you know, my father used to play catch with me. And baseball's a big part of my life. And I got that, you know, from just way back when. And when I was 6, 7 years old, playing ball with my dad. And I play catch with my kids, too.
So you gonna take a little BP on Sunday, Eddie?
Yeah, you know what? I tell you, I wish the kids were out, but I'm going to see them on Monday, you know?
Right. All right, man. Well, look, we really appreciate you checking in and your enthusiasm, not only for baseball, but also for the rock and roll. You're giving us a lot of pleasure. I got to tell you, man, Think I'm in Love did it for me back in the 80s, man. I got a special backseat memory.
Yeah, that's a great little tune, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so good luck to you. We'll see you on Sunday down at the ballpark. I think I'll be there with my son if we get the opportunity. So,
hey, if you guys, I want to tell you something. I got nothing against the girls, but listen to that song by the band. What, Our Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's. Our Lips Are Sealed. They stole it from me. It's actually I Think I'm in Love.
Hey, man, I got a little story for you here. I want to share this with you because I swore if I ever got a chance to talk to you that I would tell you this story. Last night was my bachelor party, Eddie. I'm getting married in a couple of weeks.
Hey, congratulations. Hey, nice little girl or what?
Yeah, beautiful. New Hampshire girl. She's a Red Sox fan, but we're trying to work through that, you know, right? At least for the time being. But, we were at a special adult entertainment establishment last night, and I'll never forget being in an adult entertainment establishment. There was a girl on a pole, and it was like a 10-foot-high pole, and she had legs that were about 9.5 feet tall. And she was dancing to the song, She Takes My Breath Away.
Right.
Your song. And I just wanted, you know, I just wanted to let you know that your songs are alive and available everywhere, you know?
I know. I meet a lot of the young ladies that get out there and dance. A lot of these girls that dance, too, you know, they're trying to raise kids. They look at it just as a job. A lot of the girls in these clubs, they like shaking, they like, She Takes My Breath Away, and the song of Coming, Take Me Home Tonight, you know. I'm glad to say that, you know, my wife's not crazy about it, but the girls on those phones get a good kick out of Eddie Money. I'm going to love that.
Eddie, take care, man. Rest the pipes. We'll see you on Sunday at Camden Yards.
Okay, happy Father's Day, everybody. Hey, lots of luck with that little wife of yours.
Oh, I appreciate that, Eddie. Thanks, man. All right, there he goes. Eddie Money joining us live here via satellite.